From Carolina down to Georgia, smell the jasmine and magnolia. Sleepy sweet home, Alabama, roll tide, roll. Muddy water.
Welcome back to the Jeff Force Show at the Talk 106. 5:34 minutes after the hour on this Tuesday morning. We do appreciate you listening as always. Still to come on the program in the 11 o'clock hour, State Representative Steve McMillan will join us. So stick around for that. As I said, we do appreciate you listening. Joining us now, very excited to bring on our next guest. He represents the 4th Congressional District in Texas, Congressman Pat Fallon, on the line with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Jeff, good morning. You're a great American. I appreciate the opportunity.
Hey, you're too kind. Well, before we get into any of that politics stuff, any of that serious stuff, well, your colleague, Jerry Carl, is just on, and he informs me that you not only did you play for Lou Holtz at Notre Dame, but you also have a very good Lou Holtz impersonation.
Ah, Jerry. Well, as my wife says, when people ask me what position did I play at Notre Dame, she says, well, left out.
Well, he said that when Coach Holtz put you in, you were guaranteed that y'all were going to win that game by 30 points or more.
Yeah, because he wouldn't put me in unless we were up by 30.
Well, I bet that was a really cool thing to be a part of, the 1988 championship team that year. And things like that, but I wanted to make sure I mentioned that before we proceeded. Congressman, the special election on Saturday in your backyard there, certainly a good sign of things to come for Republicans, I would think. You kind of had you're familiar with the turf there. Did you see it kind of things going in that direction the way they did?
It's hopefully a harbinger to come, because so for the listeners, President Trump won the 6th Congressional District of Texas by 3 percentage points in 2020. And the incumbent, Ron Wright, who has since passed away, and God rest his soul, had carried the district in November by 9%. So it was supposed to be competitive. And the Democrats, they were a slew of candidates, I think 22, 23 candidates. All of the ones that I think were 10 Democrats that ran, they only got, Jeff, 36% of the vote. The Republican candidates got just north of 60, and there was one Libertarian and one Independent. So we absolutely clobbered them. It was like a plus 22 when just in November it was a plus 9. I think our base is fired up. They know and see the dangers of the socialist agenda from Biden and Pelosi and Schumer, and they're acting.
Yeah, I think that buyer's remorse has started to creep in about Joe Biden. And it may not be a complete wholesale buyer's remorse, but there's at least Democrats are not as fired up about him as, say, Trump voters are about Trump or any other Republican, at least at this moment, it seems.
Well, when Biden has a rally, of course, you still have to have people in their cars because they still think it's April of 2020 for some reason, but be that as it may. He gets 300 people in cars. This is the president of the United States, and he can't draw a crowd of 1,000 people. That's unbelievable. Like, I never thought we'd see that in our lifetime. It's like he's Millard Fillmore. Something else, man.
Yeah, it's unremarkable, and even that, the first 100 days were a little underwhelming. It seems. You got a little bit of a COVID relief plan through, but everything else, and this goes for not just President Biden, but I think the left side of the aisle of your chamber there under Nancy Pelosi, everything is so far left and so far out of the American mainstream that it's fun for them to talk about, but it doesn't seem like it's really going. It's really reasonable to expect it to any of that to get through and become law.
And I'll be really, really candid because I believe in being beyond what I call beyond honest. If the Democrats took a moderate approach that I still didn't agree with, I would say, well, they're more moderate than I thought, or they are coming to the table a little bit. We still don't like what they're bringing. It's none of that. It is hard left, and it's a left turn upon left turn. I left the Texas legislature after 8 years. Republicans clearly are the senior partner and that relationship, but we actually work together. There's a lot of bipartisan things you can get accomplished. Not everything is partisan, but with Nancy Pelosi, everything literally is partisan. She has no interest in talking, although she's governing with a very narrow margin. It will end up being 222 Democrats, 213 Republicans. Schumer's got a 50-50 Senate, and they don't care. They're just going to shove as much garbage down our throats as possible. Quick example, the COVID relief bill, which is $1.9 trillion, which is $1,900,000,000,000, 91% of it didn't go to COVID relief or have anything to do with COVID relief. It was just a clever name to mask socialist spending.
Well, that's what's kind of what's going on with the infrastructure package, that they know, they think infrastructure, when they pull it, that buzzword does real well, because who's not for fixing our crumbling infrastructure? However, they're just using that. It's like an infrastructure package, or it's masquerading as an infrastructure package. It's really just a, you know, your usual left of center Democrat socialist spending that we've been dealing with for the last century.
According to them, the New Green Deal is infrastructure. According to them, child care is infrastructure. Any, literally, you name it, they just call it that. Oh, yeah, well, that's under infrastructure. But our job is to expose it. And when you look at what happened in Texas 6, and by the way, you know it was a good day for Republicans when CNN and MSNBC and all the other mainstream media outlets don't report it at all. As they do, it's on page 26 of the newspaper. Because, I mean, it was just a shellacking. The Democrats couldn't even get 40% of the vote there. It's remarkable.
Well, you know, it's weird because the Democrats are acting like 2020 was this mandate election. But it's not that at all. The margins were still very tight. But instead of, you know, like you say, moderating and working like you did in the Texas legislature, it's not that at all. It's just messaging bill after messaging bill after messaging bill.
Yeah, except they have the votes to pass it, which is scary. And that's the thing. People would generally agree that Texas is a conservative state. It's a red state. We govern red, and we get things accomplished. But again, there are lots of things that aren't partisan. She has not even considered. And let me give you an example of her pettiness, just on a personal level. Claudia Tenney was the last member of Congress that her race to be called. It was really close. She was up 20,000 votes on Election Day, and she ended up winning by 100, 200 votes. I think it's New York's 23rd district. Well, anyway, long story short, Claudia gets, she's declared the winner. She's going to get sworn in February. There's nobody in the chamber except Claudia and a few clerks and Pelosi. Pelosi would not allow Claudia Tenney's son, who's an active duty Marine and Naval Academy graduate, to attend his mother swearing in for quote unquote COVID concerns, which is a pile of dung. It was just to be petty and mean because she was upset Claudia won. That's who Nancy Pelosi is at her core.
And I mean, she's rewarded consistently over and over again as the speaker, but I don't know. Maybe those days are coming to a close. We'll have to wait and see. A congressman, they're there in Texas. Now, for years, we heard Texas and Georgia were going to flip blue any day now. And I've always kind of scoffed at that idea, you know, especially Georgia being in our backyard here. Do you see Texas, maybe Democrats having a modicum of success and picking off Texas, you know, either a Senate seat or some the Electoral College in a presidential election? Is it, do you see anything on the horizon that would suggest that?
I see some things on the horizon that suggest Texas will stay red, and I'll tell you what they are. I remember in 2012, I had been elected to the state house, and the state party was looking at demographic shifts and polling, and they were really worried and concerned that if we didn't broaden our message and appeal, that Texas would flip red, flip from red to blue. But what they didn't factor in is a few things. The migration from the other 49 states, even though there are some folks coming from California, and the migration of the other 49 are net Republicans. But the big thing nobody foresaw was down in the valley, which is heavily Hispanic, the shift from blue to red. That the valley area is trending hard Republican. And for a few reasons. They're sick of one-party rule. They're on the right side of the wall. They are, you know, strong people of faith and family, conservative values. And they're tired of the corruption. And they understand also who the drug cartels are, the most evil people on the planet. And the folks that are close to the border are far more likely to fall victim to the cartel's activities than somebody that lives in Vermont or some damn liberal up in Minnesota. So they understand what's really going on. And I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe in Starr County, where it's a pretty major county down there, Trump only got about 28-29% in 16. And I believe he won the county this time, which is remarkable. It's unbelievable that that would occur. So that's a huge, let's say, ray of sunshine and hope for Texas moving forward.
I mean, that was kind of a remarkable trend, those border counties going as they did. Either they were close or Trump outright flipped them. But let's talk about the border. You have a front row seat to what's going on at the border. It seems to have been put on the back burner. We're not talking as much about it. We're talking about whatever the woke topic du jour that, you know, is at the moment. But the border crisis seems to be still kind of present. You still have, this influx, if you will, trying to come through the southern border there.
Oh, it's awful. It's worse than it's ever been. And the mainstream media, of course, is trying to ignore it. And I went and visited the border 3 weeks ago when we went to a place called the Donna Holding Facility, which if President Trump had been in office, the left would call it the Donna Steel Cages. But they're good at their nomenclature. So anyhow, it's supposed to be, because of COVID, 250 max capacity, so 250 people in the facility at any given time. When we were down there that day, there were 5,700 people there, 3,700 unaccompanied minors. Nearly everybody in there was from the Northern Triangle, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras. And they didn't want us to take cameras inside. The same gal that is like a little KTV handler that works directly for the commissioner, who had gotten into it with Ted Cruz, got into it with us. We just sidestepped or walked in, and when she told me not to take pictures, the first thing I did was take pictures of her, because it wouldn't work for her, and our job is to be transparent for the American people. Border crossings have more than tripled, probably quadrupled, and even more probably since the same time last year under President Trump. And there's a few reasons why. When you signal that you're going to give millions of citizenship, make it easier to get welfare, and the migrant protection protocols, which was commonly known as the Great Mexico policy, and you halt deportations and you halt wall construction. That's all the things Biden did. And he's instituted catch and release. So if you go to the border, I was in McAllen. When I flew back to Dallas, half of my plane was full of migrants, these same migrants that entered illegally. They weren't even given notices and summons to appear. They were given an envelope and plane tickets. And if they said they had connection or family in wherever, Denver, Detroit, Philadelphia, didn't matter, the American taxpayer pays for their airfare to go there, which is insane. And nobody's talking about that either. If you go to the airport, any one of those airports down on the border, almost the entire airport now is filled with these migrants that we are flying. We don't even know who they really are. We're flying them to anywhere they want in the country. And they're going to work for the cartels because they couldn't pay for passage to begin with. The overwhelming majority are, quote unquote, working it off by doing God knows what for the cartels.
I don't know who that, I guess they're playing a long-term game here. It's one of the gripes of Republicans always was that big business wanted, to saturate the labor pool and drive those labor prices down. But do you think it really is with Democrats, maybe ideological in some degree, but political, just to bring in more Democrat votes? Do they think that's really their pathway ahead to stay in power?
It's delusion. A lot of it, so let's just talk from a moral basis. To the migrants, just moral basis from the migrants. Forget about the United States for a minute, and we'll talk about that in a sec. Clearly, it's not in the best interest of this, our own nation state, to bring in highly undereducated and unskilled folks. It's just not in our interest. But let's talk about their interest for a second. So you're telling me, Joe Biden, that you are perfectly fine with, I think last month it was 150,000 illegal immigrants from Central America, knowing that a third of those women get sexually assaulted on the transit through Mexico. And when they get here, they couldn't pay for their passage. They have relatives back home. The cartels know who they are. If they just skip town and do their own thing in the United States, the cartels will harm or murder their family and text them photos of it because they have their phone numbers, and they're going to work it off. What are these 20-something girls going to do, or what are young ladies do when they get to the United States? I mean, because of Joe Biden, the United States taxpayer is complicit in funding the greatest human trafficking and sexual slavery operation in the world, in the history of the world. And the media just looks the other way because it's a Democrat in the White House. This is insane, and it has to stop. And furthermore, another reason why the cartels love mass unlawful migration is because it takes about half of our Border Patrol agents off the border and into these holding facilities where they're literally babysitting, changing diapers, and it makes it that much easier to smuggle in fentanyl, cocaine, and methamphetamine, which is all, if you ask DEA, all of that is on the rise. So it hurts our country in so many ways, and yet Biden doesn't want to be held to account. He doesn't want to talk about it at all. Kamala Harris, who was going to be the border czar, hasn't had a press conference or gone to the border in the 41 days she's been the border czar. So they're just hoping that it will go away. And it's our job to make sure the American people know the truth, because it is ripping our country apart. We're already a better nation. We can't pay our own bills, never mind hundreds of thousands of folks that come in. And incidentally, Jeff, this is an inexhaustible supply of human beings. There are 34.5 million people that live in those three little Central American countries.
Congressman, we're up against a break here, but I do appreciate you making time for our audience here in Alabama, and maybe we can do this again real soon.
Oh, I'd love that. And you guys got some great folks representing you in the Congress, and Jerry Collins is my freshman buddy, and he does a wonderful job, and Alabama's lucky to have him.
Congressman Pat Fallon on the line. Congressman, we appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Jeff. God bless. Take care.
You too. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5.